You are listening to Jewwatch Radio at www.jewwatch.com. In the preface to Jewish-run concentration camps in the Soviet Union by Dr. Hermann Grief, Dr. E.R. Fields writes that the original founders of the Russian communist government in 1917 were overwhelmingly Jewish, including Trotsky, Kamenev, Sverdlov, Yuritsky, Radek, and Litvinov. At the time, writes Dr. Fields, Lenin was depicted as a Gentile. However, Soviet General Dmitry Volkogonov's 1994 biography of Lenin provided documents proving that Lenin was a part Jew who spoke Yiddish. Lenin died of a massive stroke on January 21, 1924. The Soviet Union was then ruled by a triumvirate of Kamenev, Sverdlov, and Stalin. When Stalin outmaneuvered his rivals and assumed power in 1928, he ordered the murder of Trotsky, Kamenev, and Sverdlov. This did not eliminate Jewish domination of the Soviet government. In fact, Stalin named the Jew Kaganovich as head of all industry and L.P. Beria to head the secret police. In fact, Stalin would later marry Kaganovich's sister Rosa, and his daughter Svetlana would take Kaganovich's son Michael as her third husband. What is not generally known is that every head of the secret police under Stalin was a Jew. Dr. E.R. Fields writes that Gingrich Yagoda became head of the GPU secret police in July 1934. Upon Yagoda's removal on December 30, 1936, the Jew M. Berman was briefly its head, followed by the bloodthirsty dwarf Nikolai Yezhov, who stood only 4'7". All three Jews would die in Stalin's purges. On December 8, 1938, the Jew L.P. Beria became the head of the secret police. Beria served until Stalin's death on March 5, 1953. Beria was then purged and executed by Khrushchev a few months later. Dr. E.R. Fields describes how millions were arrested as paranoia swept the Soviet Union under Stalin. What has never been revealed in America is that Stalin chose legions of Jews to run his concentration camps, writes E.R. Fields. These camps were called colonies or work camps. Lenin had earlier stated that Jews make better communists than Russians. Likewise, Stalin believed that Jews would make better concentration camp heads and place the Gulag prisons totally in their hands. Robert Conquest is the world's foremost authority on the Soviet Gulag prisons. His book, The Great Terror, states that there were about 12 million political prisoners between 1937 and 1938. Some 1 million were legally executed by drumhead courts, while 2 million others died of exhaustion, starvation, cold, and disease. This massive roundup of millions of people began in 1930, after the paranoid Stalin had consolidated his control. Stalin then launched a witch hunt for alleged spies, saboteurs, wreckers, Ukrainian kulak farmers, and dissenters of any kind. Factory workers were told to report rumor mongers and the disgruntled. One factory group would announce that they had turned in 30 wreckers, and another would retort, "We did better, we found 32. Children were even told to report their own parents. Millions of these unfortunates would vanish forever into the gulag. Their sentences would range from 3 to 10 years, but could be extended if at the end they had failed to be politically corrected. One of the biggest projects and the most brutal was the Great Stalin White Sea Canal. The Jew, Naftali Frenkel, had successfully built the smaller Belomar Canal in 1930 with the loss of only 30,000 lives. Thus he was flown to Moscow for a 3-hour meeting with Stalin, who had launched his first 5-year plan in 1929. Frenkel told Stalin that through the use of millions of prisoners for corrective labor, the country could make a great industrial leap into the 20th century. Frankel outlined a plan even more appealing to Stalin. He suggested the building of a canal linking the Baltic Sea to the White Sea and the Adriatic. This was said to be impossible at the time. Frankel suggested that it be named the Stalin-White Sea Canal. Well, Stalin was so pleased that he placed Frankel in charge of all prison labor under Yagoda's GPU secret police. According to Dr. Fields, Stalin needed millions of slave laborers for his grandiose schemes. Fields writes that at its peak, there were 53 major re-education camps and 425 minor ones. The megalomaniac Stalin believed that the canal would make his name live on in history just like the pyramids. However, the great Stalin would build a canal in a record-breaking time of only 20 months, from September 1931 to April 1933. The Jew Frankel was put in charge of this vast project covering hundreds of miles. This is a frozen area just east of Finland, with the ground covered with heavy boulders. Almost overnight, some 100, quote, corrective workers, unquote, were dumped there without adequate housing, clothing, food, or health facilities. They were to live in dilapidated, lice-infested barracks and tents, which were erected by the thousands. There was no modern equipment such as bulldozers and derricks. It was to be built with pick and shovel by those who were considered politically incorrect. These barbaric conditions cost thousands of lives, and it's estimated that 250,000 prisoners who were politically incorrect died while building the canal. Everything was disorganized, with people trying to pry up boulders with their bare hands, to falling off planks while pushing wheelbarrows of heavy stones. Frankel came up with the idea of the shock worker. These were unfortunate people who would work longer hours than required and break records for quotas. Their reward would be higher food rations at the expense of others, and time off their sentence. Thus the heads of the, quote, shock worker brigades, unquote, would closely monitor the other members of their group. Fields writes that often workers judged to be lazy or slow, and thus posing the threat of reducing the brigade's rations, would be beaten or killed with guards looking the other way. There were 2 12-hour shifts. One would work at night under searchlights. If a group got behind, a storm attack would be declared, and the work brigades would then labor a straight 48 hours. With freezing weather and flimsy living quarters that did not keep out the sub-zero cold, the people died like flies. At the end of each shift, horse-drawn sledges would collect the corpses to clean the project up. So-called, quote, loafers and idlers, unquote, were declared as, quote, class enemies, unquote, and they were often executed. The Jewish-run GPU even had a brass band play propaganda songs to urge the workers on to greater efforts. Propagandists would bark such slogans through a bullhorn as, quote, from us everything, to us nothing, and not just work but heroic work, unquote. As a warning to slackers, there were threatening slogans such as, quote, love your canal, there is no time to be ill, do not take time off, whoever does not work does not eat, unquote. Field says that by May 1, 1933, People's Commissar for State Security Gingrich Yagoda announced that the canal had been completed on time. In July 1933, a smiling Stalin took a pleasure cruise down the canal. There is a photo of him joking, laughing, and smoking. However, no ships, not even a submarine, have ever sailed through the canal. It seems that due to the rush to meet Stalin's unreasonable completion date, the canal is only 16 feet deep. Today, the canal is still working with all locks operating. However, only barges carrying lumber are able to travel it. A parallel railroad is used for the same work. Thus, the great Stalin White Sea Canal, which cost the lives of 250,000 people, is all but useless. You are listening to Jew Watch Radio at www.jewwatch.com.